the time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPALALSLASLAACRRRMMHADRALBA.
MOUSE.
Or any of those guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as you're soon to find out. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with the Magic Maker.
Shelly.
And Mark.
You like the way I threw that in there?
Yeah, that was good.
You couldn't go, oh. It was just thrown in.
I rolled
in.
My eyes, though.
She did roll her painful eyes.
Yeah, her eyes that have allergies going on.
Yeah. So we're both smoking cigars around her. So.
Well, I'm smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, that's
so
true. Yeah.
Sweet.
So, Bruce.
Yes.
If for some odd reason I needed a meeting right now, what would I be doing?
I would turn up the volume on the show.
Okay. So.
No.
Oh, oops. Shelley begs to differ.
Voice of dissension. You must put on your little shoesies and get in your little car or take your little bus or... Take a little walk.
I have a big car.
Whatever you need to do, get to a meeting. And then after the meeting, you can come back and turn the show back on, and we will suck the recovery right back out of you.
Can I download it, the show, to an iPod so I can listen to it on the way to the meeting?
In the meeting.
Absolutely, but in the meeting, you have to turn it off.
How about if it's a really lousy speaker?
Take out one earbud.
Wow.
Wow, we've got Shelley half reformed.
Awesome. Well, you know what that means.
What's that mean?
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
That was early.
Yeah, we were a little off on that one.
Yeah. Cut the one from the last show and put it in. We were good.
Nice.
I'm going back to a story I skipped earlier.
Okay.
On
just because
show?
We want to get this story over with because it's so horrible.
Oh.
We'll be the judge of that.
Hernando County Sheriff's deputies, and I'm not exactly sure where that is, say that Walana Frazier, 25 years old, was at the community park when she was seen hitting two kittens with a baseball bat on Friday, and one of the kittens died. The worst part is that she did this in front of her two young children who participated.
Oh, wow.
Way to parent. Not deserving of water.
They taking the kids away from her?
It doesn't say, actually, in this story. And it's just a blurb.
I'll bet
this wasn't
will.
Like pinata spring training or anything, was it?
No.
Okay.
They were just...
I'm just curious.
It's horrible. And I mean,
it is horrible.
Did it say anything about who caught her?
The sheriff.
The sheriff saw her do it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not worthy of water.
Yeah, she's using up the water supply.
Okay, now I need to turn two more pages and go back to...
See, and people say there's no justification for beating someone down with a police baton. They're wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he should have gone up there and took his kids out of the car. Watch me beat down this woman with my baton. And you can help me. Let me give you little kid batons.
In Florida... go ahead. In
Florida!
Thank you. New statistics have shown that it is possible... that up to 95% of the pill mills in the country are located in South Florida.
They just keep moving around, don't they?
75% of the time, that works every time.
Because I keep getting news stories from different states saying that their state is the worst. It's like a game to see who can have
who
the
can
biggest drug trade. Yeah. Well, the main problem is now that the laws have changed and Florida's trying to crack down on it a little bit, you can't send... The doctors that are running the pill mills can't send the pills through the mail anymore to most states.
Right.
Well, now they have a flood. They're calling it a flood of pharmaceutical tourists who drive from other states just to pick up their pills. On an average day...
Is that illegal?
If they've got a prescription, it's not.
Okay.
But they're getting prescriptions from, you know, phony doctors. They're calling these tourists pillbillies.
Nice. I like that.
Pillbillies. They come
I
down,
like that.
Especially,
yeah, I'm a pillbilly.
Especially from states like Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee.
Where do you see the Hatfields and the McCoys on that one?
Yeah.
So they loaded up the bus and they headed to West Palm Beach, Florida. Florida!
On an average day, one of these pill mill doctors can make $25,000 in cash.
Ooh, that's some serious coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that ain't bad. What's that, $600,000 a month? No, more than that. 25 a day?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's $600,000 a month if they take, like, long weekends.
Yeah.
In Simi Valley, California...
Okay.
A recent rash of heroin overdoses is causing concern among residents and authorities.
You using that heroin?
That heroin. There were 5 overdose deaths in the last month, which apparently is a lot in Simi Valley.
Simi Valley is where a lot of L.A.'s police department lives.
Yep.
5 deaths and 22 overdoses, hospitalized overdoses.
Whoops.
Yeah, they say that heroin has become the drug of choice among 14, 15, and 16-year-olds lately. That's what they're seeing.
That's just sad.
Yeah, it is.
Where are the parents at?
It doesn't say.
They're all cops. They're at work. Busting drug dealers.
To quote Eminem.
They're hoping they're hoping that last month's unusual death rate is due to a bad batch of heroin that got on the street.
Oh, this is for graduation.
No. Anyone that does heroin will tell you. It's an overdose problem. It's not a bad batch of heroin. It's probably a truly excellent batch of heroin. Like, way better than they're used to. Way less cut.
Okay.
So bad is good and good is bad?
Well, that's why it's overdoses. You know, they're not dying from, like, side effects of it's got something else in it. They're dying from overdosing, which means they're probably doing their regular dose. It's just way better than they think it's going to be.
All right.
Alrighty then.
Yet another depressing story.
Good.
In West Virginia, in Cedar Grove, this is apparently a growing problem in West Virginia. But in this particular case, Wilfred Naylor, 81 years old, was found dead outside his home. They believe he was targeted for his prescription drugs.
Oh.
This is a growing trend. This has apparently been happening quite a bit lately, where elderly people are targeted for getting beaten down or killed for their prescription meds, especially elderly cancer patients.
Wow.
That's just sad. That's like the kittens.
Yeah, the boozy news is a real bummer tonight.
So far.
Got any happy, shiny, happy news?
Well, I don't really have any happy news, but I have Montel Williams.
Okay.
Montel Williams in Sacramento, California. He's going to open up his own medical marijuana dispensary.
Well, that's good news for those who smoke marijuana.
Awesome.
He has multiple sclerosis, and he says marijuana has helped him to cope with the disease.
Okay. I believe that.
But do you think he'll do talk shows from the dispensary? That
would
be kind of cool.
He's not even doing talk shows anymore.
Yeah, but he could start a talk show, and they could do it in the dispensary and, like, sit around and get high.
It'd be like
Cheetos.
It'd be like the anti-recovery 101.
Yeah.
Dude, did you turn on the microphone, man? I don't remember.
Montel Williams, and how was your day, bud?
What's up, man? Dude, where's my car?
Yeah.
All right, the next
door. Can I open the Oreo factory next door?
Yeah. That'd make a lot of money.
Yeah, Hostess Twinkie shop next door?
Yep, that's it.
No, Cheetos.
Cheetos?
Cheetos.
You going to get Cheetle?
Yeah.
Cheetle,
yes. On your fingers?
Yep.
Popcorns.
That's the top. That's the technical name for that orange dust that comes off
it's
on you.
Cheetle.
Yep.
Cheetle.
Don.
I'm sure Don Cheetle is very upset about that.
In Upper Dublin Township, Pennsylvania... A special education teacher in Pennsylvania was busted after buying a vibrator for one of her special ed students and sending the girl sexual text messages.
Wow. Did it blow her hair back?
I don't know.
Is that new one from Trojan?
Oh.
No, the student took the materials to tearfully took the materials to her parents and turned the teacher in.
Wow. That's that teacher's using up the water supply, aren't they?
Well, it's like I'm getting, and this is just one of several. I'm getting so many stories about teachers that are effing up. It's like, what is going on? I mean, it's like all of a sudden the last couple of months we've had, and most of them I'm not even putting on the air. Just the really, truly weird ones.
Yeah, it's really, truly weird.
That
yeah.
was weird.
Is it? Did it say if it was a man?
The teacher's a woman and the student's a woman. As a girl.
Wow.
Yep.
So you guys aren't so bad. It's those women that are blowing it.
Where's Gloria Allred at?
Yeah, and who's she going to...
Yeah, which side she going to represent?
Which side she's going to take?
Jeez.
Gloria's representing the porn star that Anthony Weiner was texting.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
In the San Francisco area, a 49-year-old man said $4,800 was gone when he woke up from a night with a younger man he had contacted via the internet.
He took it.
Also gone was the 34-year-old man he connected with online and the 34-year-old man's women's clothing. Apparently, he left behind all of the clothing he was wearing. And it's not clear in the story whether or not the 49-year-old man, the names aren't mentioned in here.
Knew he was a man.
Daniel Boone was a man. He was a big man.
Yeah, don't go there.
Left behind was women's clothing, lingerie, makeup, and a wig.
Wow.
Usually people wouldn't report that the money was missing if they found all of that.
Yeah, you would think.
But it is San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just saying, but I think you'd, you know, want to check the bona fides of anybody you met over the internet in San Francisco.
Oh, so pretty.
You want to check the bona fides?
Yes.
I feel pretty and witty and...
The boner
gay.
Fides? Yeah. Yeah. You mind if I check your boner fide?
Yeah.
I said bona fides.
The bona fides.
Yeah, let me check your bona fide. Zip.
Okay, you got one.
Yeah, that's fine, bona fide.
In Chantilly, Virginia, a Nigerian man is in jail after customs officials at Dulles International Airport say he ingested 3 pounds of heroin in a smuggling attempt.
That's a good way to die.
They found alleged inconsistencies in his story when interviewing him at the airport.
And in his stool.
So they x-rayed him and found a bunch of heroin balloons, I guess, in his stomach. 3 pounds. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's enough to kill you many times.
If the
many,
balloon
many,
breaks.
Many, many times.
Yeah, you talk about the rubber breaking being a problem.
Yeah. Well, when you said it was a Nigerian guy and he got stopped, and I'm thinking, was he bringing over the $450,000 cash that I'm going to help him,
take from all
care
those emails.
Of?
Yeah, he was your guy with the 450.
Yeah.
The guy you sent $2,000 to, he's going to bring back $450,000 that you need to help him bring in here.
Yeah.
For 20%.
Does anybody fall for that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Clearly they do, or they wouldn't continue to do it.
But I didn't fall for it twice. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, the one I'm getting now, the big one that I'm getting now is I'm getting a lot from the you've won X amount of dollars in the British
the UK
something
lottery.
Or other sweepstakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't even enter. How could I have won?
Yeah, they go straight to the spam.
Yeah, I don't even open them anymore. And
did you ever?
I did one time. I opened it, and then I looked at the link, and then I went to another window and typed in the link in to see where it went without clicking on the link because I didn't know if it was a virus or not. And it went to this weird page with stuff to enter your credit card information and stuff like that.
Yeah, you need to enter your credit card information so that we can put it directly in your account.
Yeah, something like that. So then I looked it up on Snopes and got the true story.
Yeah. Snopes.com, SNOPES.com. If you get an email and you think it's suspicious, post the and do a search for the subject line of your email and you'll probably find it there.
In Portage, Michigan, the fire actually came to the fire station this time.
Makes it easier for them to work on it.
Do your best business on Main Street.
Yeah, about 3:45 on Tuesday in the afternoon, a van burst into flames across at the apartment complex across from the police station. There were two men inside the vehicle. They had just gotten a plastic container full of gasoline at the gas station. And then, of course, one of them lights a cigarette.
Oops.
All the gas vapor ignited. The van went boom. The guys leaped out of the van. They're okay. They got some minor burns. They leaped out of the van. The van then continued to roll across the street into the fire station.
Wow.
The fire truck, however, was not there because they had taken the fire truck out to get it full of gas.
Wow, they could have just borrowed the gas from the guys in the van.
Yeah.
Yes, really.
Kind of. So, did they put the fire out?
Yes, they did eventually put the fire out, but it burned
down
part
the
of
fire
the fence.
Station?
No. It burned part of the fence on the fire station.
Ah.
Because by the time they got back with the truck, you know.
Hey, guys, come back to base now.
Yeah, really. Can you see that 911 call? Come home. Come home. In El Reno, Oklahoma, an El Reno man with multiple personalities has finally been found, canceling the silver alert. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a silver alert.
It's got to be for older people.
He's 62 years old.
There you go.
He is deathly afraid of men, and he generally wears a blue psychedelic style shirt. A blue psychedelic style shirt and false breasts.
I was going to say, did someone leave a bunch of
false breasts?
Women's clothing in his apartment?
No, he was actually...
When they took his money?
No.
Because he's afraid of men?
Oh, no. He has multiple personalities and extreme fear of men, and he generally walks around wearing false breasts. That's what his wife says.
Which personality is that?
Does he feel himself up?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
If I had fake breasts, I'd be feeling myself up all the time.
You'd never get out of the house.
Yeah.
No. I'd stand in front of the mirror, feeling my breasts.
I'd start doing yoga.
Yeah.
So why don't you just get some?
I don't think so.
I mean, if it would give you that much pleasure, why not just get some breasts?
Then what would you do?
Feel up his breasts?
Oh.
Whoa. Yay. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not interested in being a she-male, thank you very much.
Well, all right then. There's new research to suggest that... Oh, we're all over time.
It's okay.
Sorry.
There's new research to suggest that the hallucinogen in psilocybin mushrooms may actually have beneficial effects in some patients.
I always thought it did.
I used to eat a lot of psilocybin mushrooms. I lived in Oregon. There was a lot of them to be had.
This is actually done by the Johns Hopkins Institute, the study.
Wow. How do you get to volunteer to be a part of that?
Yeah.
89% of the patients...
Who wants to eat some shrooms?
89% of the patients involved in the study reported lasting positive changes in their behavior after having ingested they distilled the ingredient in the mushrooms out into pill form.
Wow.
Oh.
So, what was the... beneficial effect?
They felt better about themselves.
They did.
And their surroundings.
They were laughing.
Whether they were really there or not.
One is quoted as saying, "I think my heart is more open to all interactions with other people."
That's how I felt.
Another wrote, "There is more empathy, a greater understanding of people and understanding their difficulties and less judgment."
God, you know, you remember how understanding you were? I mean, people could talk to you when you're on shrooms, and you just intently just looked at them and just, you cared what they had to say.
Why is that different than acid?
But you know why you cared so much what they had to say? Because you had to watch the words form as they came out of their mouth.
Yeah, but I'm wondering is why that's any different than acid.
I don't know. Why don't we do a study? How much did they get for that study? We could do the study on acid.
I don't see anything about, I think they got the drugs. That's what they got.
Oh. Well, you know, a lot of guys will do that for the drugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll work for drugs.
Another direct quote from a patient is, "At the end of the session, I was just in this joyous, happy, relaxed state." Well, duh.
I was in my happy, joyous spot.
Yeah. It sounds to me like they just kind of sat around getting high, but, you know.
I was with a guy on mushrooms one time who took a right turn onto the railroad tracks, and I wasn't feeling happy, joyous, and anything about that. So we need to get off the railroad tracks. This is a Southern Pacific line, and there's trains that go by here multiple times a day.
Isn't this cool?
Yeah.
You done?
Yeah, I'll be done now. That's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
Awesome.
Welcome back.
I actually had more boozy news, but that's all right. We're way over time.
Your dreams are taken out.
Good for you. Wonderful. When time's the bus leave?
You mean to go to that same old place that I laughed about?
Exactly.
Bless you.
Gazoon
Bless
night.
You.
Oh, thank you.
Mark's sporting
a
little
cold.
We had a topic.
We do?
We did.
What is it?
What was it?
I don't remember.
Oh, jeez. If we do another All Skate, Sarah will never forgive us.
And something about anonymity?
Anonymity.
Oh, right, that article that was sent in to us about anonymity becoming a thing of the past.
Well, part of what I read, and I didn't read the whole thing, but part of what I read said that one of the reasons for the anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and other programs came based on the fact that early on, if it was found out you were an alcoholic, it would probably ruin you. Or had a good chance of ruining you, and how that has really changed in the last few years, because now it's kind of cool to be in recovery, and it's like it's almost like you're well thought of. Like, you get some time in recovery, people look at you. So many people know drug addicts and alcoholics. You get some time in recovery, people are like, wow, that's really great. That really shows that you have some stick-to-itiveness. I mean, you've actually been sober, you know, whatever, 15 years, 10 years, 20 years. That's awesome. And it didn't used to so much be that way.
No, it's almost like getting a college degree. People look at your college degree and go, wow, you made it through college. You worked really hard. Wow, you've been sober 10 years. You've made it through all that. You worked really hard.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
It's kind of the same thing.
It's kind of a cyclical thing. It was like in the early 1990s, it was really cool to be a coke addict.
Right. A recovering coke addict.
Either way.
Well, it depended on what crowd you were trying to impress.
That's right.
And then for a while there, you know, the rehab was the new black. Everybody that was in rehab was cool.
Uh-huh.
Well, and then you had, you know, the whole, you know, Huey Lewis in the news, you know, it's hip to be square. And I think one of the things that's really changed it maybe to the populace in general is the myriad of famous people that are doing it and doing it right, which is not as many as are doing it and doing it wrong. But, you know, you got people like
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Who's the one from One Day at a Time?
Mackenzie Phillips.
Mackenzie Phillips did a pretty good job on that show. I mean, there's people that are doing it and getting time. And, you know, look at A&E. The most popular show A&E has is Intervention. I mean, people in the general populace are interested in what's going on in the drug and alcohol community, and they seem to be interested in the recovery side of it. And it didn't used to be that way.
You know, I think the reality TV has a lot to do with a lot of the things that have made anonymity harder and has also made real life harder. You know, it's like the show The Real World is not the real world.
Not at all.
You know.
Yeah, let's celebrity put 8 people living together, 8 hot people living together in a house. Oh, yeah, that's real.
Celebrity rehab is not recovery.
No.
Any rehab is not recovery.
No.
So, you know, and they have these shows on, and everybody just gloms to them. You know, it's like, oh my God, did you see the show? No, I didn't.
Well, and the thing is, look at shows. You know what? In the 30s, if there had been TV, there would not have been shows about alcoholics on. You know, it would not have been, they wouldn't, you know, there wasn't like radio shows about alcoholics where they fronted people off because you didn't want anybody to know.
Well, think about even in the 50s and 60s, the alcoholic, Otis the Drunk.
I was just thinking of that.
You know, the alcoholic was, you know, Foster Brooks.
Foster Brooks. I saw him today do a roast of Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah. I mean, those were the drunks. Those were the alcoholics. They
kept
were,
calling them, you know, Sandra Day and Sally Davis. I mean, just, he's great. I love Foster Brooks.
Yep.
Shelley, you were starting to say something.
I think one of the reasons why the shows are so popular is that nearly everyone in the country can say that there's someone in their family that has a problem with drugs or alcohol. And everyone wants so much for that person to get better, so they watch these reality shows because, with the exception of intervention, a lot of times on these shows, things turn out well. Or at least for that moment, they turn out well. You don't really see what happens after.
Now, wait a minute. On intervention, though, it's usually only doesn't turn well on certain types of people, right?
With intervention, I watched intervention for quite a while. And one thing I noticed, the pattern I noticed, is that when they did the little blurb at the end of the show on how they're doing 6 months, a year later, or whatever.
Dope fiends did better.
Quite a lot of the time, the people that were on meth or heroin or coke or whatever it was, you know, any drug, were still clean. But most of the shows that involved straight alcoholics, about half the time the drunk was dead, that they'd gone back to drinking, which depressed me, which is why I stopped watching the show.
Did it depress you because it made it look like NA was better than AA?
No, it was just depressing because it's like the people I identified with the most closely were the ones that had the worst survival rates.
No, that's true. So, I'm like the least anonymous person you'll meet.
You really are.
I am. I'll tell customers I'm an alcoholic. I think that, but I think what this article is putting forth is that it used to be a shame thing. It was a shame thing. We don't tell people because we're ashamed we're alcoholics and we're sure if people knew it would ruin our lives.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's totally not a shame thing.
You own your own business.
Yeah, I'm not going to get fired by my boss.
Exactly.
There are people, I know people in the program that guard their anonymity zealously.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
And they should.
Because they're, you know, teachers and people in authority positions that they don't want the general population to know what they used to do. Because it would reflect negatively on their business.
Yes. I wasn't that negative. I wasn't that anonymous when I worked for a big corporation. It actually helped me get one of my positions because the guy thought that I could be the designated driver at lunch. I swear to God. He's like, we go out and have, you know, lunch, and we have it at wherever it was, El Torito or something, and they have margaritas every day at lunch. He's like, mm-hmm. You can drive me back. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I didn't really want to get a job like that.
Yeah, I always have to ask myself, because I have my own company, and down the road here I'm going to be hiring a lot of people.
And you've spoken to many addicts and alcoholics about that possibility.
Uh-huh. But these are people I know, yes. And I have a relationship with.
Yes.
How about people I don't know that I would find out that they were an addict or alcoholic? Would I hire them? Would I prefer not to hire them?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Depends on if they're working a program.
Sometimes it doesn't even depend on that. Because I expect everybody
read
to
read the chapter
out.
To the employers.
Uh-huh. I've read it.
A couple of times.
Yeah, once or twice.
Shelley, if you were going to give your final words on the topic of the story, which is that anonymity is kind of going away or should be going away or has gone away, what would it be?
I don't know. I think it's a personal choice. I mean, you're Whether or not you keep your own anonymity in a certain circumstance is up to you. However, you should always be careful to guard others' anonymity no matter what.
True.
I don't even, when I, if I see somebody I know in the program in like a store or something like that, I don't even go up and say hi unless they say hi to me first, because I don't want, you know, whoever they're with to say, oh, how do you know that person? And for them to be put in a bad spot. You know, I just, unless they, you know, because some people don't want to be approached in public when they're with other people.
Well, that's when you walk up and go, hey, I know you, I saw you at that Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Yeah, you're taking that newcomer chip.
Yeah, no, yeah. See, I wouldn't even do that. I, you know, with the exception of when we sit around and talk at coffee, I don't go around in public talking about it a lot. But, you know, I like you, I'm not exactly anonymous anymore. I used to be. But that sort of ended. And I don't worry so much about my own anonymity, but I don't front other people off with theirs. I wouldn't do that.
Clearly. How about you, Mark?
I'm very anonymous. I think people should be very careful with their anonymity and also absolutely with other people's. But, you know, because it's just, I don't know, it's, you know, the program has changed. You know, we had a conversation a couple months ago about being careful what you say in meetings even. You know, and, you know, I just think that there isn't as great a respect for the anonymity of this program as there once was. And I think that that's something that needs to come back around. But a lot of it is the reality TV shows today and the things that it's just, it's so out there.
I think, like you said, it's cyclical. We may see it phase out and phase back around. And
hopefully reality TV phases out in that way.
Yes. I'll give you an example from tonight. We were out at a function, Mark and I.
Uh-huh.
I asked the guy how long he'd known Mark, and he said, I don't know what he said, like 5 or 6 years or something.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me, he said, how long have you known Mark? I said, I've known him for a long time. Oh, where do you know him from? I said, oh, well, we associate with some of the same people when we met through this. You know, and it's like I was very mindful not to say anything, because even though he's known Mark for 5 years, doesn't mean he knows anything.
He doesn't.
About Mark being a Lodi. So I'm certainly not going to volunteer that information. I think that, sorry, Shelley?
No, go ahead.
I think that for me, if someone asks me, I don't have any problem telling them. I don't always, you know, normally if I'm going to talk to someone about it, it's going to be more like in an enclosed setting. Like in my store, if I'm talking with a customer and it seems okay, I'll tell them. It doesn't really bug me to do that. You know, the thing basically says press, radio, and film. So anybody you want to tell on your personal behalf was never a problem even back in the day.
Right.
If you felt like it. I don't usually feel like it, but no, I'm not opposed to it. I certainly wouldn't break anybody else's anonymity, though. That's just not right.
I think part of the problem also is that a lot of the young people coming into the program who've grown up with this reality TV crap don't think it's that big of a deal. To them, it wasn't that big of a deal to get loaded and crash their car or whatever. They didn't hit as low a bottom as some of the older members did.
I didn't crash my car.
This is just an event in their lives. So to them, it's no big deal. They don't think it's a problem to go around talking about who went to what meeting, because it's out there. So to them, they don't have any frame of reference.
When it's out there in a way, like when you see the show Intervention, usually those people are pretty jacked up.
Yeah.
I can see a lot of young kids watching those shows going, I'm clearly not an alcoholic. Look at that guy in that show. That guy is jacked up. I'm not like that. Shelley?
Yes.
Who are our friends online?
That would be intherooms.com.
.com.
An online recovery community where you can go and put up a profile, meet some people in the A of your choice, go to online meetings and chats, and you can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to our embedded player while you surf the site, and it's all free.
Sweet. Mark, who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
At 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go up onto our recovery101.net site and scroll down to the 12-Step Gazette link and click on it. We'll take you directly to his site. It's a great publication. There are all kinds of nice articles and recovery inspired pages of
and recovery-oriented, I'd say crap, but it's really not crap. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good stuff, and you can get it online. You can have it emailed to you. Or if you're in no hurry to get it, you can get the subscription prescription and have it mailed to you in the post. It is all free.
What if I have a recovery house or a Nalano club or something?
Then you're making good money.
Will they? Yeah. Will they? Will they send?
They
it
will
to me?
Send you multiples.
Sweet.
And for you to
Bruce
spread.
The Gazette guy is going to give you multiples.
Yeah, Bruce will give you multiples.
Awesome.
And also, if you are interested in a franchise, you can contact Bruce, and he will give you all the information needed to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Awesome. I'm yawning.
You are yawning.
Didn't mean to yawn in everyone's ear. We also have email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com. And if you'd like to join our crack advertising staff, or you'd like to buy advertising on this fine, fine program, you can actually contact us anyway. But recovery101radiosales@gmail.com will get it done. We've also got videos at youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn serious.
Shelly?
Yes?
Who's the lead on music by?
Oh, I need something cheery. How about AC/DC?
Cheery, like like Hell's Bells?
I was thinking more along the lines of Thunderstruck, but...
Okay. Thunderstruck! Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.